Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to episode 169 of the Curtain Call Podcast. Curtain Call is the podcast that takes you deep behind the scenes of the theater world, bringing you in-depth conversations with the story makers that are shaping the future of theater today. We pull back the curtain to reveal the stories behind the stories and give you a glimpse into the backstage world like no other podcast does. There's a new show in town, and I'm going to apologize in advance for this long intro, but I love this show. Born a few years ago, pretty much like the main character in this astonishing musical. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button is currently playing at the Southwark Playhouse Elephant, not to be confused with Southwark Playhouse Borough. Now, first appearing in London in 2019 at its sister theater, Jethro Compton and Darren Clarke's musical is a fresh take on an old tale by F. Scott Fitzgerald. In a nutshell, a child is born at the age of 70, ages backwards until he's a baby at 70 years. Now, to be so reductive does not give the weight due to this phenomenal musical. I'm just going to be hyperbolic here. It's not hyperbolic. It's fact. From the get-go, the music and acting, not to mention directing, design, stage management, sound mixing, are just off the charts good. It has garnered dozens and dozens of positive reviews, 5 stars, 4 stars, and absolutely no negative reviews whatsoever on those crazy review aggregators. And that is something that just doesn't happen very often. It's a hit, a palpable hit. I had the pleasure of watching the second preview of Benjamin Button, and then the first night of the 3 press nights they had, and the journey of that show just in those 2 little weeks, it just shows that it's getting better and better. Just like Benjamin Button, it learns as it ages and gets fresher every day, and I cannot wait to go back and see it a few more times. Believe me when I tell you that you will never, ever see a better ensemble of actor-musicians. You will want to go see it at Southwark, and to be among those chosen few who can literally say, I saw it when it started out at the Southwark Playhouse. I mean, that's how passionately I feel about it. I feel privileged to have seen it. Now, I had to sit down and chat with the 2 central characters, and I cannot call them leads, as this is truly an ensemble piece. Jamie Parker and Molly Osborne, who play the titular character and the love of his life, Elwyn Keane, are an absolute delight on stage and in person. Jamie seems to excel in stories intermeshed with magic, as the last character he created was Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and I last saw Molly at the Menier Chocolate Factory's gorgeous revival of Fiddler on the Roof, where she was exquisite and heartbreaking as Zeitel, Tevye's eldest daughter, who in breaking tradition is breaking Tevye's heart. I mean, she was a sensation, and they're both sensational in Benjamin Button. I could go on and on, but enough of how much I love the show. You'll hear that enough in the chat I have with these 2 stars. Just a quick little warning, there is a little swearing in this episode, so if you're listening to this at work, put your earbuds in, have a listen.
Please ask your names and who you play and the curious case
of Benjamin Button. My name is Jamie Parker and I'm playing Benjamin Button.
My name is Molly Osborne. I'm playing.
I see how you shake 50 minutes on
the show. Awesome. Drive a Cornish tractor through that.
Full disclosure, I came to see this on the second preview, which I absolutely love.
So yeah,
I know there's an embargo on this, but this will come out. We'll have to wait. But I loved it. Like, it can only, for me, I can only like love it more. As we were walking in, Jamie, I just said, I don't think I've ever seen a more ensemble show.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to take it back to like defining that within the rehearsal space, because I mean, it's hard to describe.
It is hard to describe.
And how much is done on stage.
Everyone is doing everyone. Everyone is doing everyone. Everyone is doing. That's for the other podcast. Everyone is doing everything. There's the idea that there are any solo moments in the show is the most ludicrous thing.
Like
theatre always was, you know, its own evidence for being the collaborative art form. But if it was ever a case for it, then it's this show. And I think it was the first thing, the first topic of conversation in the first conversation I had with Jethro and Darren, who are the writers, when I first met them, because that when I said, do you think there are any windows where I might be able to modestly throw my sort of hat into the ring for making some music with everybody else, because it feels a bit
going the other way, like just
no, I was going to say, because it feels off
to
have anyone in this setup not making music with everybody else.
So if Benjamin didn't play anything, it would be really
like this asshole playing the lead standing over there. You know, they're sort of siloed and separating himself over there, and when there's no need. And it didn't smell right. And it's such a generous, essential, elemental part of the way the story is told. It's purely theatrical. There's no production values to speak of. It's just words and music. Making stuff happen. Somebody says something and it happens. It comes into being. It's odd standing in there's whole chunks of this show where I don't really move. I'm just standing or sitting on one spot in the middle of the stage.
You don't really notice it either.
Like, but it doesn't feel like it, because everything's happening.
Everything is happening around. Maybe you're orbiting around Jamie. You know, it coming in and out, and while you're sitting, growing younger in the pub.
Wish fulfillment. That's wish fulfillment.
But I mean, because Molly and Jamie, you both play kind of single characters as well. I think. Molly, do you double at the beginning, or did you?
Oh, you're forgetting the sheep.
You can't forget the sheep.
I'm going to have to watch. I'm watching tonight, so I'm going to
definitely. Are you watching again tonight?
Wonderful.
Of course I am.
Just storytelling, storytellers, and then.
But I think that that's a great anchor, don't you think?
Yeah.
With it, but were you jealous at all of some of your cast members getting to play like 28 different people on the show?
It's so like joyful watching people just pop up, even just for two lines as a person,
and then disappear again.
And then you never meet that character again. But it just injects laughter into the piece right at the right moments, and it's structured so beautifully in that way. And getting to see people like Damien,
Johnny's drunk.
Or Johnny's
drunk. Never quite know what's going to happen with Johnny's drunk.
Oh, really?
And
just so much fun.
Yeah, everybody is. There's always this moment. Everybody's playing five different instruments.
Yeah.
And then everybody, as one, spins stage right and starts singing about Johnny, who's playing the drum. And you find that people strumming, or I'm sitting at the piano, and I'm just chuckling away to myself sitting at the piano.
He would be in different positions every time we did it. It was brilliant. Yeah.
And it's playful. And I think that's how the show gets under your skin, isn't it? It's very disarming.
Yeah.
And very exposed. It's like an open sandwich of storytelling. It's just like, it's for me, ground zero is the chorus in Henry V, who no one's ever said it better, when they just says, work your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, think when we talk of horses, that you see them.
Yeah. Mm.
That's it. And it's that same deal. And so you kind of go, oh, well, it's just this. Mm. And then at somewhere along the line, you realise it's added up to more than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
creeps up on you.
Well, there's a real, stabs you.
Yeah.
There's a real danger of, with so much going on, that story gets lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a simple story of a man aging backwards. Mm-hmm. And you could, with everyone playing so many different instruments as well as characters, lose the story. But I think you guys managed to properly nail it down. It's
really... Well, that's amazing to hear.
That's testament to Jethro and Darren's writing, but also the group kind of determination to do that. It was a sort of a daily mantra of story, and it's come with sacrifices. You know, as you know, things stuff that isn't staying on that laser line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can cut it, you should. It kind of really, otherwise, the story gets baggy. Mm.
And was the in rehearsal, was it quite full? I mean, we've established you've taken about 15, 20 minutes off since previews, but even in rehearsals, was it even more full? Were you looking for ways to slow it down?
It was mostly about getting up to full speed, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, getting through the material to even discover what we needed and what we didn't need so much.
Yeah.
We were trying to just really get through everything.
Yeah. The whole,
because it doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
Stop.
And no one leaves, or if they do, it's only to grab something and come back.
I could not believe that it was the time it was.
No.
For me, it was like, oh, that was a quick hour. I went, what?
Yeah, it doesn't feel long.
It doesn't.
It really doesn't feel long. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
And because there's no room to stop and consider. There's no boredom space in it.
Yeah.
There's always something that you have to do now.
Yeah.
Which is great, but you know, when you're up against it schedule-wise, it's pretty hectic.
It's a bit of a tough
schedule. This entire thing trades on clarity of thought.
Mm.
That's it. That's all we have. And I remember years ago talking with some actors who'd been to Greece and they'd stood in the ancient amphitheatre.
Yeah. Mm.
This X thousand number of people who could stand there. And he said it was absolutely terrifying. And a lot of people really struggled because they were trying to fill the space.
Yeah.
And then there was one guy who just stood there and was crystal clear about what it was that he was saying and who to and why.
Yeah.
And no one missed a word of what he said. And the Globe on Bankside has got the same thing. It's this big, unwieldy thing. But some actors have got the knack of making it feel really small and intimate. And it's this kind of material, that's what it's all about. It's just so long as everybody knows exactly what they're doing and can do it without having to think about it, then the story lives.
Yeah.
But it takes a huge amount of complex repetition getting to that very simple place. We were up against it with time and resources, so it just. Yeah. But
I think some people were here. I mean, we'll get to music in a minute. But some people, this isn't its first time visiting London, is it? It was it here at Southwark Playhouse.
Yes, Southwark Playhouse, 2019.
Yes, mm-hmm. In the old.
And in
playhouse.
The previous.
Well, I mean, it's not the old playhouse. It's still young.
The original.
Playhouse.
Yes.
So.
And which was a 5-person iteration of it.
Seriously.
Yeah. I think so.
It was a different version.
It's now 12.
So how do you do this with 5 people?
I have no
ask
idea.
Matt Burns and Pippa Hogg, who were.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matt, who's on drums and guitar,
basically
our MD, isn't
he? Yeah.
And Pippa,
who. He drives, and Pippa, she is incredible as well. I mean, she.
Oh, gorgeous. Thank God we have Matt and Pippa.
This is where I was going anyway. How much, like, for me as a musician, like, I have a, you know, my son's a musician, I'm a musician, we have a recording studio at home because that's just our go to thing.
Hmm.
How much. I'm leading the witness here because it just, you guys are smiling. I've never seen so many smiles on stage. How much fun was it to get to learn this music, to get to play it? I mean, music is like one of my churches. Theater's my church, music's
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
To go to church every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how much fun. And, or if it wasn't, you can say that too. That's cool.
But,
well, you know what the deal is. The thing is, I think one of the reasons I wanted to do this was because I just wanted to get, it was first principle stuff. Well, we talked about the fact that it's just storytelling with words and music, just in a space with an audience. It's not about production values. But also, more than that, it was just about getting in a rehearsal room and wrestling a bit of material over the line. Yeah. Because, fuck me, did I really want to do that? It's been too long. The last time I really rehearsed brand new material, or new material that was brand new to me, was 2016 on Cursed Child.
Yeah,
it was too long. And I just really wanted to do that. And this felt like a good group to be doing it with.
Yeah.
But you know what that involves, though? It means enjoying the despair and the frustration and the panic and the exhaustion and the confusion and when we take it in turns to prop each other up. You know, these guys are phenomenal.
Yeah. So talented.
Agile, capacious minds. And there's something about them as a group that they really have just clicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not all been tiptoeing through the tulips, because it's been really, really fucking hard.
It's a lot of material.
Yeah.
It's so much. And everyone's so, in a good way, which is why everyone's so brilliant, that everyone has that perfectionist kind of, like, you know, want for it to get it right and get it perfect. And I think we've all learned to really be listening to each other and to forgive yourself for that one tiny bit that went differently that night, or we've gelled really well and are kind of holding each other up now, like, as when we need to. Yeah. And it's
got to that nice thing where we are each other's structure.
Yeah.
We know the story, we know the material well enough now, we can wear it without having to consciously think about it.
Yeah. Yes.
And so the chaos can just be allowed to happen inside that.
Yeah.
And there is chaos
it's,
and abundance.
It's nuanced, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's scruffy imperfection is part of its charm.
Totally.
I think it's part of the contract of that thing of saying, of, you know, just saying again, you know, it's just us. It's just this and that.
Yeah. And we're just going to pause for a little word from our sponsors.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And now back to the Curtain Call podcast with our guests, Jamie Parker and Molly Osborne from The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, the musical.
I think it's great. It's a real, like, blessing and like privilege to be part of Ensemble Cast and being on stage watching your fellow cast members.
So I love it.
Expand on that, Molly.
I love
it
so much. I feel like, particularly in those scenes with you and Jack, I said to Jack the other day, I feel like I'm watching a National Theatre live stream of something. Like, you know, you're right there and you can feel like you're like on a close-up of somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to play that like Helen Mirren.
It's incredible.
You feel everyone's energy, and it feels like everyone's doing that scene.
Yeah.
I never feel everyone's energy more intensely than when I fuck something up. I can just feel 11 people go oh, you wanker.
And inhale.
When we started making cuts, and then you
have,
you have to remember.
Of course, so you're cutting during the day, coming and doing the preview.
Yeah, and you have to remember not to do stuff that you've already learned. And there was, like if you put it into a sketch comedy, you'd have gone, bit on the nose, Jamie, dial it back. But there was a classic one where I stood up and I was the only one who went, oh! just felt 11 people go, you dickhead.
It was all lies.
Genius.
I went bright red.
Oh
my God. I'm sweating for you.
It took me everything not to, like... My back was to the audience, so it was
fine. Constantly saying the wrong word, name or something.
I said my own name when addressing you.
I've
never messed
so
up so much in a show.
I think maybe the space and the peace and the like you talked that there's a chaos like bubbling away in this kind of orbit of the story where it's elastic enough to let some things like that happen. Also, so it's press night tonight.
Thursday night.
Is it Thursday night?
Well, it's press week.
A press week. Yes.
Press week.
Yeah.
And opening week. Night on
yes,
Thursday.
Exactly. It's press week to this week. Are you excited to finally get this out to? I mean, who does it for press? I don't fucking know. You know, I don't.
I don't think it's possible to design a night less conducive to good theatre than a press night.
No, you think?
I loathe the anathema to everything I hold dear. I just fucking hate them.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever once in my life enjoyed one. Which is why I do like this principle of a press week, actually. And the opening night is just a kind of for us and for nearest and dearest and people support who want to support.
So once you get this one out of the way, once you get the press week out of the way, what would you like, and I always love to ask this question, what would you like somebody who doesn't know much about, you know, this isn't, I mean, this is one of Scott Fitzgerald's, you know, it's Gatsby obviously is his big one, but this is kind of, I guess, his second play, but what would you like people to kind of both dismiss about the fact that it's based on a classic piece of literature, but also take away, what would you like them to take away from this? And kind of go out and be able to tell people.
Do you want to take that one?
No. That's a very good question.
Okay, all right. No, it's not.
Excellent.
Okay, hands in the air. I don't really know the Fitzgerald book very well. I've read it. I scanned
really
it.
It's really kooky.
But it's not. Yeah. But the point is that it's not really based on the book.
Yeah.
It's the book is now public domain, so people are free to flex their imaginations however they want. Mm. That's what David Fincher did with the movie with Brad Pitt and Cate Blanchett, and Jethro and Darren have done the same thing, and Jethro made it very specifically about his home. He's relocated it to Cornwall, and Darren's populated it with these ostensibly very simple Celtic folk tunes that involve storytelling and sort of give us license to be actor musicians. Because a lot of the time, sometimes the actor musician thing feels a little bit wrenched into the story. Like so why is everyone playing violins?
Yeah.
But this one, it feels like you're on a pub crawl and just telling stories. So you have license to do that.
Yeah.
So what I did see, though, was the 8-hour unabridged Gats performance.
Yeah.
And it strikes me, not knowing the original book of Benjamin Button very well, that this does have something very much in common with them. Because I remember watching that, and every time Nick, the narrator, would say, introduce the first character, then the actor would come on and you'd go, oh, that's going to be Gatsby or that's going to be Daisy. And I remember going, oh, no. No, that's not who I think I should be seeing as Gatsby. Mm. And I realized as it went on that you have this story which is about projecting what you want to see in somebody onto that person and the illusions that we weave for ourselves.
Yeah.
And this is exactly the same contract. We stand up in front of the audience and we say, I'm telling a story about this man who is this child who was born as an old man and ages backwards. And yes, he's wearing a suit and everything, but it's just a hat and cane and that's it.
Mm.
But what I'm asking you to do is see it.
Yeah.
And that's the deal. They say something and it happens. And so I think your question was a literary one.
Yeah, and then
does that count?
Let's say that counts. That's very, very good. But I guess the easier part of that question would be, you know, what would you really like audiences to take away from this show, like disregarding anything that you just
five wet handkerchiefs.
At least
I'm in competition with Shadowlands on this one in terms of endearment.
Oh,
like fuck you, cry.
Yeah.
I
just didn't want. But here's the thing: it's like you're crying and you're laughing at the same fucking time.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult. Listen, I'm a sop. I get invested. I throw my suspension of disbelief comes in. Absolutely, I suspend it all. Like just entertain me. But then I was like, I know. Okay, is it gonna be? Yeah, it's gonna be set. Here it comes. Okay, and then.
Yeah.
and he does this all of the things. But then I'm giggling again. Like, and then I'm a little chuckle.
Yeah, I think it does. It turns us into children. I think it's a very childlike.
I mean, in your Molly, you literally have everybody in the palm of your hands at that point.
It does that, doesn't
it? It is an incredible.
It's a bit annoying.
Well,
it's the such a beautiful song. That's time.
Time.
It's
so, oh my god.
And it's been morphing as we've been, you know, going along, and it's changed a lot since we first did it. And it's, I think now, as it is now, it's sort of found its own way.
Yeah.
Of.
Well, it was. I think it was the first one that he wrote. And he wrote it out of context of the story, and the more we got into the scenario,
it's blended in with the company so beautifully, it's like, I mean, you know, what Darren's done with it is
it's classy. It's,
yeah.
And he's taken the instruments out, he's like stripped it back, he's put things back in. It's very intelligently done.
Working with Mark as well, Mark Aspinall.
And Mark's been driving us.
Who was the musical supervisor, and he just his ability to just sort of revoice stuff on the fly, or just or rearrange, and or just kind of go, oh, that's great, let's do that on that and shove it up the octave, that'll really really work, and don't come in until bar 12. But there's
you kind of go, that's it.
It's magic.
Last question, because I know you guys are ready. You brought up Shakespeare's Globe.
Sorry.
It would be a Globe production without a jig at the end. And I was hoping. I swear to God, I was in bits. I was like, please. I was like, reached my wife and said, I was like, God, I hope there's a jig. And spoiler alerts, like, there is a jig. Was that something that was always a part of it, or was that something that was, because you could leave it, and we do have a bit of an uplifting moment. It's very sweet. I mean, oh my God, when the father watches Long Beach, that spoke again. That was me done. Like, as me, I had so many issues that there. I was done. I was like, okay, somebody's gonna have to wheel me out. And but how was the jig always there, or was it something that came in?
There was always gonna be an encore, wasn't
there? That was always the encore, I think.
But how we were gonna do it.
Right.
As with the rest of it, like,
how's that gonna happen?
But it's the thing of, like, it seems What was slightly bewildering about getting from A to B on it was that it seems perfectly simple. Mm. It's all there. The narrator says it. So by this point, we need to hit here and just have this picture on the stage. But fucking hell, it was really hard to do. And so we knew that we had this encore. Was it the last thing we got to? Last thing we got to.
Even like once we're in the... Maybe just before we're in the theatre? I don't know.
Yeah. I was playing the wrong chords. Until Matt told me in the dressing room, he went, mate, you can make that a lot easier for yourself. Like, kind of, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah. That's the one where I'd feel totally exposed as an interloper, non-musician in the group.
Non-musician, but you're playing guitar, you were literally up and down the crowd.
Well, this is what I've learned about Dadgad, is Dadgad Chini, that if you do make life simple for yourself, it's quite simple to just jump up and down. But I was, fuck knows what I was trying to do. I was trying to do 19 different chord changes. It's a lot less impressive, but a bit more accurate now.
it was an absolute joy. Jamie Ball, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It was great, and everyone needs to come and see it. Like, it is a great, I think it's one of my favorite, like, new musicals, you know, I say newish, but one of just for the pure joy of watching.
It's been a special few weeks.
How much
it's really has.
Enjoy your run.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Molly Osborne and Jamie Parker from The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, a new musical. Thank you for listening. But before we go, just a quick reminder to say that if you like this episode, or indeed any of our episodes of the Curtain Call podcast, please go to whichever streaming platform you use and leave a rating and review. It helps others like you find the podcast. If you want to reach out to us, you can find me on all the socials at John Schwab. That's JohnSchwab. If you have been convinced that you must go see The Curious Case of Benjamin Button musical at the Southwark Playhouse Elephant, just visit southwarkplayhouse.co.uk, and I will put that link in the show notes. If you haven't been convinced, well, it must mean you just don't love new musicals. Go. Get swept away. Laugh. Cry. Enjoy the music. Then go and watch it again and see something completely different. Someone else's track. It's so much fun to do that. Thank you for listening. Speak soon and stay safe. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now And get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.